Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Sportsbook Box Office Podcast. Joined by my co-host Jeffrey Paul here, everybody.
Hello, hello, hello.
Yeah. Also in studio, today's guest, Dustin Chafin.
Yay. What's up?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about.
We've had a hell of the last 2 weeks, I would say, right? Between sports and films and other debauchery and shenanigans. But I understand we're going to have a guest caller very soon here, Jeffrey Paul.
That's right. We're going to get right into it, in fact.
Okay.
We have, calling in today, we have, this guy is best known for playing A.J. Quartermain on General Hospital. You also may know him as Deacon Chop from The Bold and the Beautiful and The Young and the Restless.
Yes.
Maybe also known as Mike Barnes from Karate Kid 3. Okay, it's Sean Kanan. Okay, so we're going to have him. We're calling him right now. Right, George?
Yeah.
All right, we'll get Sean on the phone here. We've got some questions for him. And this will be pretty cool. And then we'll talk with Dustin. We got to go over our box office game. We got some new box office stuff to discuss. A little bit of sports.
A lot of sports.
So we got some stuff going on. It'd be nice if Sean actually picks up the phone today. So
your call has been forwarded to an automated
and we go,
voice
of course, system. We're going to an automated
three.
Message.
All right. Okay. I took it off. Do you want me to call again?
Yeah, we can try it in a little bit.
Glove saving okay. A beauty.
All right. So normally.
Again. Hold on. Keep talking.
Okay. Why don't we do this?
Keep it flowing.
Okay. Why don't we do this? We'll get Sean on the phone in a little while. Why don't we get right into our game? Dustin, we do this game where we predict the opening numbers for box office and movies. Okay. Last week, we had five movies. We predicted the movie Nerve, Bad Moms, Jason Bourne, Nine Lives, and Suicide Squad.
Okay.
And we had in our guest last week, we had Frank
Pellegrino.
So here we go. Let's talk Nerve.
Right. Okay. So my guess was $11 million for opening weekend. Jeffrey Paul, what was yours?
Mine was 10 and Frank's was 14. What are the actual numbers?
Actual retail price, $15 million. Frank Pellegrino the closest, but we were all pretty much right there within stone's throw. Not a bad guess. Okay. Next one. Mila Kunis, Christine Applegate. In a knockoff of any other, I don't know, Hangover-esque kind of film. Bad Moms.
Okay, here's the numbers. Dustin, did you see any of these movies? I know you're a big movie guy.
I am. I haven't been in a while, though. I don't know if I saw any of these movies.
Okay. Yeah, it's been it's been the worst summer for films, and I couldn't tell you how long.
Yeah.
It's been shit.
It feels weird, yeah.
All right, so with Bad Moms, Frank predicted $40 million opening. Kevin, you said it was going to be a shit show at 22. And I was a little bit more conservative. I went 35.
Actual retail price, $23 million. Your boy was damn near on the money.
Nice.
That's pretty good. You predicted that right on the money, just about.
Yeah.
I heard it was kind of funny, though.
I heard mixed. I heard it's fine. It's not. I'm not rushing out to drop 15 bucks on Bad Moms.
Nah, unless you're with a woman. I mean, it's not something you see by yourself. Maybe Jeffrey will see it. But most of us...
I'd see it wearing shorts.
Daisy Dukes.
And take care of some business while I'm watching that. That is rated R, right? And it got to be a hard R for me to enjoy that. Okay. Oh.
That's our producer here in the background, the film, in the film, in the podcast. Never mind. Okay, onward and upward. Jeffrey Paul, you saw this next film.
I did.
Matt Damon in his new, returning in his title role. All right.
Do we have Sean?
We got
on the
Sean?
Phone finally.
All right.
Go ahead.
Hey, Sean.
Hey, buddy. How are you?
I'm good. How are you, sir?
I'm good. I'm sorry if it's a little loud. I'm in Vegas doing some press. I'm at this place called Top Golf. Have you heard of this place?
Absolutely have. I go to Vegas. Hey, it's Kevin, by the way.
That's Kevin Goatee, and you also have Dustin Chafin in studio.
Hey, Jorge, I can't hear you yet, but how's it going, dude? Big fan.
It's crazy, man. It's like I don't know, it's like an arcade for adults with golfing and a swimming pool and a whole thing, and they've got little microchips in the golf balls, and so it's like a driving range, and they have a point system, and whatever. It's pretty nuts. It's the first time I've ever been here. It was kind of fun. So, anyway, I hope you're well. It's nice to talk to you again.
Yeah, same here. So we're going to get into a couple of questions, and then, like, you know, we can bullshit a little bit. But let's get started talking about, we introduced you, about being in General Hospital, Bold and Beautiful, of course, Mike Barnes and Karate Kid 3. Quick question, man. When you did Karate Kid 3, did you have to train or did you already know martial arts?
I had trained since I was about 13 years old, so I've trained off and on in the martial arts all my life.
Method actor, got it.
That I already had that going for me.
Yeah, and there's a rumor out there that you almost died making Karate Kid 3.
That is absolutely true. I was doing the film, and I did a stunt, and the stunt had nothing to do with karate. I had to basically stand in a stationary position and jump about 2 feet and land on my side. And, it must have been like a freak accident. I ruptured something internally, and it bled for a number of days. I didn't know about it. I had some significant pain in my left thigh, which I attributed to all the karate I was doing. And in reality, it was blood dripping down on my femoral artery.
Jesus.
And I was in Las Vegas, and I got rushed to the hospital on Christmas Day in 1990. It's 1990, yeah. 89 or 90, and they said, look, we got to do emergency surgery, or you're not going to make it. So,
I'm surprised that Pat Morita did not rub his hands vigorously together and then place them on your wound, and that would heal it.
Wait, say that again. I'm sorry. It's a little hard
to hear. Sure. I said, I'm surprised that you went to the hospital when you had Pat Morita on set where he could have rubbed his hands vigorously together and he could have placed it on there. What's that?
Yeah, I'm surprised he couldn't just rub his hands together and heal me. Yeah.
That's what I was like. Wait, why? You got a guru right there.
Yeah, they work a little more differently in reality.
Someone yell, get him a body bag on set.
I love that guy. That's my favorite guy.
It was so funny. I was just here with him. I had never met him. It's Rob Garrison.
Oh, he's great.
The guy was like, get him a body bag, Johnny. So it was
he's
me and
so
him.
Good.
What else has Billy Rob Zappa Garrison said? Done?
He's working. What?
Is he a working guy, Rob Garrison?
Yeah.
Body bag guy?
Yeah.
I know he lives in Virginia or West Virginia. I don't know what he's really doing right now.
No one else does either.
A lot of chiller conventions.
One question. I mean, obviously, you've got a lot of the catchphrases from the first Karate Kid. Did they try and get you one for the third one? I mean, I saw the film the first time when I was a kid, and I haven't seen it since. Did they try and get you another catchphrase so you could have something as the bad guy in three?
Wait a minute. I'm having so much trouble hearing you. Did you say that they try and get me a tax break?
Yeah, okay. I bet you want a tax break.
Catchphrase.
Did they try and get you a catchphrase for Karate Kid 3 like they did with some of the other bad guys in the first one?
Oh. I don't know. I'm not sure. It's funny. We were talking about the team Billy Zabka who played the bad guy in the first one. Ultimately, Johnny Lawrence wasn't really a bad guy. Like, remember at the end, he kind of held LaRusso's hand up, and he goes, you're okay, LaRusso, you're okay. My character was just like a horrible human being.
Right.
So who's the bigger villain to Daniel? Is it Mike Bonds or is it Johnny?
Or Kreese?
Say that again.
Who's the bigger villain to Daniel?
Oh, for sure Mike Barnes is the bigger villain.
Elizabeth Shue.
Johnny was like just like a rich kid from Encino who took karate who kind of didn't like Daniel's son. I was hired specifically to crush this kid.
Right. But by Terry Silva, the industrialist, who dropped all his business doings just so he could win the local karate tournament, right?
Right.
Viable premise for a movie. Hey, dude, I wanted to ask you this: is it true that you're like also a big baseball card collector?
Oh my god, I'm so sorry it's so loud.
No, no worries. Again? You're a big baseball card collector, right?
Say it again.
You're like a big baseball card.
It sounds like you're a little underwater.
Yeah.
Jeff asked, "Are you a?" He goes, "We've seen that you're a big."
Thank you for interpreting.
Well, he's got that Staten Island accent. We have to get past. He asked if you're a big baseball card collector. I saw that also on Wikipedia.
Oh wow! I used to do that for a really long time. I kind of lost track of doing that, but for years I was. I was really into collecting baseball cards. I don't know, and I had a pretty good collection.
Yeah. What was the most valuable thing you had?
I had some 1910 tobacco cards.
Shit.
Did you have the Honus Wagner?
Unfortunately, not the Honus Wagner.
All right.
I had some great stuff from the 50s. I had a pretty good collection, but I was buying it as a kid. So, I mean, I wasn't buying it as, like, an adult who was making money. I was buying it as, like, a kid who was hustling, cutting lawns and doing stuff like that to get good cards.
You're a fan. You're a big baseball fan, right?
Exactly, yeah.
Who's your team?
Well, at the time with the Pirates, you know, my mother took me in Pittsburgh in 1979. She takes me to Pittsburgh. I was getting bar mitzvah, so I had to get my bar mitzvah suit. And, I mean, the last thing a kid who's 13 wants to do is get a suit. So I said, all right, look, here's the deal. If you take me to go see the Pirates playing, this is the World Series, I'll go get the suit. And my mother, God love her, was out there with scalpers getting tickets, and wow. We watched the Pittsburgh Pirates playing in the 1979 World Series. So they're always going to be my team.
Did you ever wear your suit while watching Willie Stargell hit a home run?
No, but I've seen Willie Stargell hit. I think I've seen Willie Stargell hit a grand slam, actually.
Were you there when Clemente? Did you see Clemente in person, or was that?
It's just a little bit.
Yeah.
I had a great Clemente card, but I was too young to watch him play.
Gotcha. Hey, go ahead, Jeff.
Yeah, I was going to say, now this will be of particular interest to Dustin. You're doing stand-up now, right?
I've been doing stand-up for a while. I just got done doing Clubs Reno and Tahoe. And you know, you and I had a good time performing together in New Jersey and doing a club in Manhattan. And you know, I love doing stand-up. It's that, you know, that immediate reciprocity you get from the audience. No, I don't shoot. My soap opera is not in front of a live audience other than the crew. And so I really love, you know, working in front of a live audience. I've just been booking clubs all over the country in between, you know, working on The Bold and the Beautiful. And I actually just finished a film I did with Jaleel White, who a lot of people might know. And he played Urkel on Family Matters.
Legend.
So as I'm free to do it, I'm trying to do it.
It must be very different while working with soap opera actresses and then going at night to comedy clubs and work with other comedians, like one good looking end of the spectrum to a complete ugly side of the spectrum, right?
To working with Jeffrey Paul, right?
Yeah, well, it's definitely different, but you know, I'll tell you, for me, it's like, I don't know, it's kind of like a fighter getting in the gym. I mean, it's like, if you can get up there and do stand up, I mean, you know, you know, hats off, right? You get some respect, because it's hard. I mean, you know, right away, whether you're doing well or you're not doing well. And I feel like, for me, it really helps me with everything else I do as a performer, whether it's doing television or film. So stand-up is something I just want to keep doing. I love it.
Yeah, well, you're talking to three comics right now, so trust me, we understand exactly what it's like to, you know, go through the reps.
Guys, I hate to do this, and I apologize sincerely to you and your audience, but I've got these interviews stacked every 15 minutes, and I got my next one. I got a call right now down to Atlanta. Can we continue this and do this another time?
Absolutely, man.
Sure.
Thank you so much.
Hey, Jeff, thank you. You and George, thank you so much for taking the time to speak to me. Thank you for your audience. And if you guys want to hit me up on Twitter, I'd love to promote this. And I look forward to seeing you in the city again, okay?
You're a good man, Sean. Get in touch with me when you're in New York again.
You guys take care.
Thanks, Sean. Okay. What is your Twitter? Oh, you know.
We got him.
All right. I got him. I was going to shout out. All right, cool.
Yeah, he's a good man. Sean's a good guy. He's a funny comic. He tells a lot of stories about being on the set and everything. So when he's in the area, people should go and check him out.
The only thing I'm going to have a question with is relatability to the audience. Like, well, you know, it's fucking like four soap opera actresses who are all nines, right? You guys have been there, right? You know?
Yeah, it's very interesting when like people go from like fame and then start stand-up comedy. I remember right. I gave Charlie Murphy his first spot. And it was interesting because they knew him from Chappelle's Show and they realized, you know, it's like, this guy's funny or whatever. But then it's like they still have to have the chops to get the laughs from the audience. But if there's that first, you know, 6 minutes or whatever, they're like, oh, my gosh, he's a celebrity. And so I think it's just a weird dynamic when somebody's already kind of famous, because we're comics trying to get famous. So
right.
It's a whole nother thing. I feel we put more into the craft part, and then sometimes those guys just kind of, you know, it's like it's not that they expect to get laughs because they're famous, but I feel like it's like they automatically get a little more respect.
They get a grace period.
Yeah, we don't get that.
No.
Sure.
But I guess after a while, like you said, you have to deliver it. I remember one time I went to the Comedy Cellar, I see Chris Rock on stage. Now, the audience is going to give him 4 or 5 minutes.
Sure.
But then after that, he comes up and says, don't expect anything, because you just work on some premises. And after about like 6-7 minutes, I mean, there were crickets.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not good.
I think it was probably good. It was just the process of writing, you know.
He's in the early stages, right?
Yeah.
How was Charlie Murphy's first set?
It was okay.
Okay, you're being diplomatic.
Yeah. Oh, I'm still not a huge fan of his stand-up. I think he's a great storyteller.
Absolutely.
But I don't know. I'm not a big storyteller guy. Like I don't. I like jokes. I like Mitch Hedberg. Those kind of Stephen Wright. That's where I came from. You know, those kind of guys are the guys that I like. But you know, he's okay. He's you know, he's got his thing and he has charisma. But his first one was you know, they like I said, they knew him from the show, so they gave him a little love. But then you know, then it was like. But sometimes those guys, they didn't have to fight as hard, so they don't realize they're not doing as well.
Did you know he, I mean? When he wasn't, sounded like he did okay at best. Did he, when he was visibly struggling, did he decide to pull like a catchphrase out to try and reel the audience back in? Like, cocaine's a hell of a drug or some shit like that?
No, but the audience would yell shit out.
Yeah, yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
I do jokes too besides that asshole. Shut the fuck up.
I'm rich, bitch.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. Okay.
Right, so let's get back to the game.
Jason Bourne, like I said, the newest installment past that Jeremy Renner piece of shit we talked about earlier in the hallway, Dustin and I. Jeffrey Paul, what was your number?
Okay, here are the numbers. We had Frank coming in at 48,
mm-hmm.
Kevin at 65,
mm-hmm.
I said 50.
Actual retail price, $59 million.
So I'm going to take the win on that.
Wait, hold on. What did you say?
I'm taking the win on that.
What did you have?
50.
I said 59. Sorry, 65. I'm 6 away, so that means you lose.
That's right, but I'll still take the win on.
No, you won't. Okay, next one. The colossal bomb, as we all called it, the piece of shit one
that
time.
We did.
The one film, cartoon kids film, that bombed that I knew it would, and everyone else did too, because no one gave a fuck about Nine Lives, voiced by Kevin Spacey. Prices, okay. Jeff Paul.
Yeah, we didn't really shoot too high on these. We went Frank, 22. Kevin, 18.
Right.
I went a little lower than you. I went 17.
Jeffrey Paul, you won that one. The actual retail price, $6.5 million opening weekend. Oh. A colossal.
So it's
stinkeroo.
So it's Kevin Spacey doing a children's film.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because I've heard he kind of likes young boys. So that's weird. It's a real thing, yeah.
Garfield, this ain't. That's good.
All right,
and the
big winner of the week, man.
The crown jewel, which
this
I thought.
This is the summer movie.
Yeah, I thought this is. The reviews were scathing from the critics. The people had a little bit more leniency. It still did not get me to get off my ass and drop $15 on it. The third one, is it the third comic book film this summer? Captain America, X-Men, yeah. And then this one's the third, right. Suicide Squad.
Okay. We had, Frank went big time on this. He said 96.
Right.
You went 81. And I thought because of the reviews, I thought it was going to be a little bit lower. I said 65.
Well, here's the thing. We picked this before the reviews came out. We did this 2 weeks ago or with our guesses. So without any reviews to gauge it on. Actual retail price, $135 million. Ooh, Frank Pellegrino. Yeah, I thought this was going to be shit to a degree. I guess I was kind of right. But I guess the audience said, fuck the critic reviews. We're going to go see it. And that they did. So it looks like yours truly had two correct. I don't know. Jeff, I think you had
one and a half.
And Frank had one.
All right. So we'll do a new edition of this, but let's like properly.
You want to do the next batch of the other ones?
I would, but I'd like to properly introduce.
Oh, that'd be a good idea, wouldn't it?
Yeah, you know, because it was a little weird, Sean Colin. So we got Dustin Chaffin's in studio. Dustin is a big movie guy. He's a great comic. He's got a CD coming out on August 12th called Stop Telling People That. You can catch that on iTunes, people, so check that out. Welcome to the show again, Dustin Chaffin.
Thank you. Officially.
Properly.
No, it was cool. There was something great about just, you know, following the guy from Karate Kid 3. I think that was well, pretty cool. I kind of dug it. Yeah, and then you kind of went into this game thing. It was good. It was kind of broke the ice a little. Now I'm okay.
Okay,
I'm ready to rock. Let's do this.
All right.
First comedy CD, Dustin?
First one on a label. This is Comedy Records. So,
okay.
You know, how you do like bullshit stuff, just you can sell on the road or whatever. You know, you go to Staples and you buy the sticky thing and you make a crappy one. I think I had one of those at one point, but this is like the first label and everything. So,
where'd you record it?
Produced it. New York Comedy Club.
Okay.
I did two shows there. I was a busboy there. And used to cook and clean for stage time. And so I figured it would be a good place to kind of like go back and like do a CD.
And you know what? It's a CD worth picking up. The cover is amazing. It really looks like an old time album cover. It looked,
right.
To me, I told Dustin this last week. It reminds me of Kansas's Left Overture. It's like that classic rock album art. It looks really, it looks great.
It's my buddy from high school, Joseph Daniel Patterson. He's a great artist. He does anything, just logos and all kinds of stuff. He's really good.
I see track two is Petey. Would that be referring to Petey de Abreu?
Yes. yeah, on that track I talk about It's kind of like the movie Blindside. I'm his Sandra Bullock.
Except Petey's not a 350-pound black guy. He's about 170.
He's close.
Yeah, he's getting there.
You seen his diet?
Yeah. You see his before pictures, but when he's down in Florida versus now, like yeah, he loves Chinese food, folks. Put it like that. Anyway.
Great comic, though. Great
comic. He's funny as fuck. That is for sure. Tell us a little bit about the CD. How long did it take you to come up with all the material on the CD?
Well, it's, you know, I've been in this business 15-plus years, and I think it's just a accumulation of different things that I've done on stage over the years, and some of it is a little more personal than some of the stuff you'll see me do at the clubs. I talk about, I was a missionary at one point in South America. I was a Mormon missionary for like a little stint in my life. Talk about that, and I was did some stuff with the troops. I do some stories about that, being right in Iraq, getting shot at, stuff like that. So, you know, it's just some more kind of more story type stuff, but not, you know, but tight stories, because, you know, I don't like stories that are too long, like
right.
Charlie Murphy.
Okay. I was going to say, did I make that joke? Yeah, you got it for me. Fuck it. So you're from Texas.
Yes.
And you're a Mormon missionary. Forgive my ignorance.
Not a Mormon missionary. I was a Mormon for a period of time.
And how does one become a Mormon in Texas? That's very a big Baptist state, correct?
It is, yeah. It's a little Methodist and Baptist.
But, right.
There was like a hot Mormon chick in my high school, and that's usually how everything happens.
Fucking pussy, man, always brings you down.
No, it was actually, you know, it was a good experience, you know, for a while. I liked it because it was like my parents are drug addicts and crazy and shit. So it was like the Mormons kind of opened up this family thing that I responded to, you know, people just having you over for meatloaf and playing cards and, you know, asking you questions like, how was your day? You know, stuff like that that I wasn't getting at home. So I think I kind of got drawn in like that.
Did your girlfriend have the magical pants the Mormons wear?
She didn't, but I did.
Awesome.
When I became a missionary, you get the magic underwear and all that stuff.
And then you make the jump from Texas to New York.
No, I went from Texas to South America, Santiago, Chile. Then I went to Idaho, Utah, and then I came to New York City.
How long were you in South America?
2 years.
And can you speak the language? Are you
fluent
in
Spanish?
Yeah, I
speak okay. Yeah, I clept out and, you know, in college and stuff. I can speak okay. It's just one of those things. Any muscle. It's like stand-up. You get rusty if you don't do it.
There you
but
go.
I can speak okay.
Okay. What did you like best about Chile? And we said Argentina was the other one?
No, just Chile.
Oh, Chile.
Yeah. I liked it. It was cool, man. It was a beautiful place. I was on Isla de Juan Fernandez, which is the Robinson Crusoe Island, about 250 miles off the coast of Chile. And it's like it's the place where apparently this guy in the Navy, Alec Sirclerc, was shipwrecked there by himself. He's the only one that survived the island. And he lived on this island for like 3 years by himself and like lived off the island and all this stuff. And then he got rescued like 3 years later, brought back to England and inspired the story. Daniel Defoe wrote, you know, Robinson Crusoe Island, and he's the one that inspired the whole story. And I lived on that island, so that was pretty cool.
That is dope.
Yeah, it was like 200 people on the whole island. It was amazing.
Did you get a chance to go to Machu Picchu?
No.
Really?
Machu Picchu.
It's right in Peru. I know it's not that far.
No,
it's like, yeah.
No, it's like you go just, you know. It's not a vacation, really. The Mormons are very, like, you know, controlling. Like, they send you to a place. That's where you're going to be.
Yeah. No fucking around, hanging out, right?
You don't get to take a train and go somewhere. That didn't work that way.
Let's just go holiday. I'm going to go wintering, guys. I'll be back in 2 months.
Very specific.
Were there any chicks then?
Yeah, and they were crazy, too. Like, they all wanted to marry an American. I mean, it was crazy.
Of course.
And a lot of times, because we lived in these little shacks and stuff that we rented from, like, Mormon families. Sometimes you'd go into your room, and there'd be two hot little 16-year-old chicks just in your bed, naked sometimes, because they were just trying. Their whole thing was they called them snakes. They wanted to, like, you know, get the Mormons. They wanted to, like, you know, take us to the dark side. So it was, like, crazy. They would just heckle us down the street all day long.
How old were you when you were there?
I was 20.
Were you there with anybody? Did you know anybody?
Well, you always have a companion, they call it. So it's always two. That's why you always see two missionaries together.
Yeah. Was he cool?
Yeah, I had about six of them. Yeah. You know, so it was different ones. Some were cool. Some just didn't speak English at all. Those are always interesting. I tell you, you learn the language quick.
Right.
Nobody's speaking English around you. And it's funny, we were talking about Star Wars earlier. That's when I started learning how to speak Spanish. And I had a hard time struggling with the language. They send you to, like, Provo, Utah, like a missionary training center, to learn Spanish. And then when it finally clicked is when I was in somebody's house and Star Wars was on in Spanish.
So you know the lines verbatim. It's easy.
Yeah, you know it so well.
Right.
So it's just like you're just sitting there watching. That's when it started clicking. But it's just funny.
Interesting stuff, man.
Did you ever tag team with your companions, any of those 16-year-olds in bed?
No, I was a good missionary, man. I didn't do anything.
Shit.
I got excommunicated later because I ended up having sex and stuff when I went to Parsons. I ended up coming here and transferring. And then that's when I started living this rock and roll bullshit life. And, of course, you grab a microphone, start doing dick jokes, then your whole life changes, and you have no morals at all.
So you just said, hold on, I don't want to dance over. You said you got excommunicated for having sex.
Yeah.
And how did they catch you? Did you fully admit it, or did they narc on you?
One of the girls narked, yeah, that I was fooling around with.
Fucking can't keep my mouth shut.
I know, it's always that one.
So they were like, what, you had sex, now you're out? Like, that's it?
Well, it was a period of time. I was pretty much out on the doctrine. I mean, it was like, you know, after it was one of those things where, like, you try to believe it. You're like, okay, this is right, man. This is cool. And then after a while, you start to, you know, your brain develops a little more, and you get older, and you're like, all right, this is probably some bullshit. But then I kind of went with it a little, and then, you know, and then I just kind of just started being bad, and then next thing you know, I didn't believe it at all.
Do you feel it was like a brainwashing kind of cult atmosphere?
Yeah, but I think every religion is.
Oh, absolutely.
Catholicism,
oh, absolutely.
Baptist, yep. Whatever, anything. Anything where somebody, some dude wrote it in a thing. If some dude was involved, then yeah, it's manipulative and it's cultish. But
right.
But yeah, there's some crazy shit in the Mormons. You know?
Yeah.
It's a sales pitch.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
But when you have religion, when you can't drink or have fucking fun, almost like, you know, I'm going to check out of this bitch.
Yeah, but you can go to BYU. If you're a quarterback, it's a great school.
I mean, Steve Young was a virgin, he said.
Yeah.
Didn't McMahon come from there, too?
I did, yeah.
Yep. Like look at us. The only two.
And Detmer. Detmer was like the
that's bust. That's right. Ty or Coy, which one?
Yeah,
or both?
Ty won the Heisman.
That's right.
And then he was a bust in the NFL. He was too small.
Well, he goes to Cleveland. Then he quarterback Cleveland.
I think he did.
I think right after
the Eagles. He went to the Eagles.
But yep.
And then I guess he went to Cleveland. And
yeah, because 99 Cleveland comes back into the league. Eric Couch is their first
Kentucky
ever. And then to follow him up is Ty Detmer.
No, Tim Couch. It was Eric Crouch from Nebraska. Right.
Eric Crouch was
Tim Couch from
Tim
Kentucky.
Couch, that's yep. right. The quarterback who set him back. They've never had a good starting quarterback since they've come back into the league. Maybe Derek Anderson a little bit.
He had one Pro Bowl a year, yeah, and then he ate shit since. Yeah, they've been in trouble. You're a Steelers fan, if I memory serves, right?
I am, and I was hoping to kind of get into with the Karate Kid 3 guy. No. I hate to call him that. What's his name?
Sean Connery.
That's what his agent says, too, by the way. What's his name? Call me again. Who the fuck is his number? Oh, Karate Kid 3.
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things where it's like where I come from, it's all Dallas Cowboys, you know.
Yuck.
My mom still lives by the stadium. Like, it's just, you know, they made you get that stupid McDonald's Cowboys poster when I was a kid and have to put it up in my room, and it was Cowboys. We always had to meet the Cowboys. I always had, like, my dad was involved in these Nautilus gyms or whatever. It was always, like, Too Tall Jones and all these guys. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and they were great football players, but then I think it was just something about that Mean Joe Green commercial.
With the Coke?
With the Coke, like that. And then Terry Bradshaw, Cannonball Run, all those movies. He was hilarious.
Right.
I just kind of started getting drawn towards the Steelers. And then I think I made a bet with my dad that they were going to beat the Cowboys in the Super Bowl. And then they did. And then I was like, kind of like, it was the first time I got to dominate my father. And then I just became the Steelers fan ever since I was seven.
And the Steel Curtain. That
yeah.
is
sure.
a great
yeah.
name for a defense.
One of the top five defense. So, yeah. But it's funny, though. Like, we're in New York right now for all of our listeners. And I'm a Giants fan. Jeff, you're a Jets fan. But everyone can unite in hating the fucking Cowboys. And it's not because the Cowboys fans in Dallas are assholes. It's the ones here, like, you know, New York, Jersey, all of them. The ones here are the worst fucking next to the Philadelphia Eagle fans. The Cowboy fans in the Northeast are the fuck, and the Patriot fans are the fucking worst. They're third worst, I would say.
Yeah, I think I feel like the 70s Cowboys fans weren't so bad, and then I feel like the Jimmy Johnson years, people jumped on the bandwagon.
Oh, they all did.
That turned the corner for me. Jimmy Johnson, I hate Jerry Jones.
Yeah, because Landry was a class act, exactly. And like all those guys.
Ex-Giant, too, Tom Landry.
That's right. Yeah, well, they all coach on the same staff as... who's that legendary coach?
Vince
Lombardi.
Lombardi, yeah, right. I knew it.
They all coached under him.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay, all so right. We only have Dustin for, you know, not the whole show. He has a full schedule ahead. So let's get into this game with him.
Right.
Because I really want to hear Dustin's opinion on box office.
I like games.
Here we go. So in half limited release, 1,500 screens. When they call it full release, it's about 3,000.
Okay.
2,500, 3,000 screens. So in 1,500 screens, which is a pretty, you know, a little bit more than limited, Florence Foster Jenkins. And that is Meryl Streep, who's Academy Award guru, about a woman who is an absolutely horrible singer who gets a shitload of, like, I think she's on Broadway. The budget on this, if this may help you, I have the budget for some, I couldn't find it for the other ones. The budget on this is $29 million.
Hugh Grant's in this movie too.
Okay. All right. I don't think that's going to help the cause in the end, but all right. It's good to know. We'll go with our guest first. Dustin Chaffin, your guest for Florence Foster Jenkins. How much do you think it's going to gross opening weekend?
Okay. Is this a Miramax film or is this?
I don't have the.
Okay. It makes a difference.
Are you a big Harvey Weinstein fan? Is that why you want to ask?
No, it's just, all about distribution.
No, fair enough.
I'm just trying to figure out like with art house and, you know, if they're getting more of an art house release or more of a broad release.
But, right. It's in between.
Yeah. I would say 13.5.
13, that's okay. All right, 13.5. Jeffrey Paul, what are you thinking?
Well, since Hugh Grant is in it, I'm going to go 16.
Nice. I think no one's going to give two rusty fucks about this film. I'm going to say 9 million. Because, again, limited release and no one's going to give two shits.
I'm going seniors in Florida.
There's a lot of gay guys that go see movies and they love Merle.
Right? I mean, that's very true. No one gave a shit about Ricky and the Flash either. And look at how,
come on. That sucked, though.
Well, it tanked in the theater. So no one gave a shit about it. And the fact that you watch it, Jeffrey Paul, also makes us question your cinematic and your musical taste.
And Rick Springfield was in it. And you know that's on my iPod, too.
Jesse's girl. Come on. Right. Big Star Wars collector, too.
Nice. All right.
How do you know that?
Just watch documentaries and shit. I don't know. I watch a lot of shit.
You do.
The 1977 film, now Peach Dragon, now has a live-action film coming out. Robert Redford, as well as Bryce Dallas Howard. In the live-action film, Peach Dragon, budgeted $60 million, and to answer your question, is a Disney-distributed film, Dustin Chaffin. So
huge.
Let's go, Jeffrey Paul. What do you think Peach Dragon's going to pull down opening weekend?
I think it's going to be do all right. I'm going to go 45 million.
Mm-hmm. Dustin Chaffin?
I'm going to go way higher because the Bryce guy is going to bring in a few of the sci-fi kids. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go at least 80.
80?
Wow, that's a big opening.
I did not give a fuck about Peach Dragon as a kid. I dare say, did you see Peach Dragon?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
I've never even heard of it.
I've heard of it.
At some point.
It's one of the very few Disney films I did not see when I was a kid, and I don't know what the allure was. I think because when they greenlit Jungle Book years ago, well, it just came out in the theater, but that live action, but then this comes out like, oh, let's all make everything a live action versus the original. 101 Dalmatians did that had success. Sure. I don't think no one gives a shit about Peach Dragon. I'm saying 40 million.
Really? Okay.
I think it'll make its money back. It's 60 is the budget, but I don't think it's going to blow the doors off like Jungle Book did.
I think it's going to do okay, man, because I think the trailer's good. The trailer kind of reels you in a little.
It looks decent.
Like, yeah, people are all about dragons, you know, and especially like the Game of Thrones parents, you know.
That's a good point.
And they'll take their kids. And it's kind of one of those things where you have to take your kids to a stupid movie.
Right.
Adults are going to probably pick that over something else.
Over 9 Lives.
Yeah. So I think it'll do well.
Okay. That's good logic.
I like Dustin's thought process through all these predictions so far.
I'm not arguing.
Really, he's a well-thought-out dude.
The next film, boy. Now, people are going from animated to live action, but these fellows decide to go from live action to their first animated film, and that's the Seth Rogen, Evan Goldberg film.
Interesting.
Sausage Party. An R-rated comedy, I might add, budgeted $30 million. Jeffrey Paul, your thoughts?
I think this is going to be a mishmash. I don't think this is going to be
or mismash.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be a good movie. I think it's going to be confusing. I don't think people are going to go to it. I don't know who it's attracting. I'm going to
potheads.
Yeah,
13-year-olds
and potheads.
But it's rated R, so they can't get.
Oh,
movie.
Come on! Who enforces R? I mean, when we were kids, like they actually gave a shit about like if you're 17 or not. Not anymore. Do they really?
Yeah, there's probably more so now. Yeah.
So
fuck.
I see them like getting kids out.
Yeah. So I think with that in mind, I'm gonna go low, man. I'm gonna say 12 million.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Dustin Chaffin, your well thought out process, please.
I don't know about well thought out. Yeah. I mean, this is a weird one. You know, I don't know. You know, Seth. I feel like the Seth Rogen thing is. I don't know. It's struggling these days. It's not what it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I feel like there was a time, short window, where people ran out to see those movies and stuff, and the whole pothead culture and the whole like, yeah. But I don't know. I don't know. This is a tough one. I'm gonna say 16, I guess.
Jesus Christ. Yeah. We're all going to be on top of each other on this one. And I agree. I think these Seth Rogen films, this ship has set sail. I finally watched This Is the End the other night.
Yeah.
I found it was okay. But most of his other shit has been awful. Yeah. Pineapple Express.
He's very
complete piece of shit.
People rave about that movie.
I fucking hate it.
I wasn't
Are you? No. Do you smoke weed?
No.
Neither do I. Yeah. Do you smoke weed? No.
That has a lot to do
I guess it does. I did not find this that enjoyable. Sausage Party, in my estimation, is going to make $18 million. I think it's going to be a... the thing is this. The budget is low, so it's 30, so it can make its money. I think it's going to be 18. I don't think it's going to be a success, a monster success hit. Okay. The following week, another fucking remake, but let's see the people will get upset about this one, the old people. Ben-Hur is coming out.
What?
Like I said, I'm dying to see these old people in the theater and going, Ethel, what are all these colored folk doing in these films here? But in this film. Sorry, I fucked that up. Good job, Kevin. I think a budget of $100 million. Wow. I don't think anyone's going to give a shit. All these remakes, no one is giving a
special fuck. Effects look pretty cool in this, though.
They also did an Exodus, and I think that tanked.
It did tank. It was terrible. So, I think the Gladiator film set the tone, and then everything else has been an absolute disappointment since. I know this is a remake. I don't think anyone's giving two fucks about Ben-Hur. I think Ben-Hur, the original, was overrated, except for the chariot race, which is fine. It's okay with the test of time, but I was bored out of my fucking mind.
Yeah. Didn't the original win like...
it won every award on
Academy Awards.
But then again, 19, was it 60 or 61, I think? Yeah. That what or 59 even it was just what you can't compare a lot of these films exactly just don't hold up, which is why The Godfather and Jaws are so excellent, because they do hold the test of time. My estimation, Ben-Hur is going to make $51 million.
Make 51 million,
and I think I might have been a little high on that one. Dustin Chafin, your thoughts?
I'm kind of trusting you a little, so I'm gonna go actually lower. I'm gonna say like 46.
Okay.
I'm gonna shoot a little higher, man. I think this is gonna be good. Reviews on it haven't come out yet, right?
We are taping this podcast on August 8th, so the reviews are not out yet.
Who's the lead?
I have no fucking clue. I saw like the quick, preview on TV, and then I said, "Oh, starring." So I'm like, "Who?" So I'm like, "I don't even know."
I think it's gonna do good. I'm gonna go a little higher than both of you guys. I'm gonna go 60.
60.
Yeah. Okay.
But you're not going that much higher, so you're not having that much faith in Ben-Hur.
Peace Dragon's going to be way bigger than this.
I want to see what the reviews are on this, but from what I saw of the trailer, man, on a rainy day, that could hook me in. I could sit through Ben-Hur. Yeah.
You sat through Ricky and the Flash, so I don't see why you won't sit through this.
Sat through Ricky and the Flash. I saw it.
Did you not watch it? Did you not spend time watching
it? I saw it in pieces on Showtime.
All right, I rest my case. Thank you.
Ricky and the Flash.
Someone does not value his time too much. Okay. All right. That's fine. Jack Houston is the lead. It might be Angelica Houston's kid.
He looks like Colin Farrell.
Such a talented family.
Also starring Morgan Freeman, who's in every fucking biblical film there is known to man. Jesus Christ. Rodrigo Santoro. Nazanin Beyond. Okay. Toby Cabell. Okay. No one else we know. How about that? Okay. Next, another kids film, because god damn it, they make money, unless again it's Nine Lives. This one, and I know nothing about this, called Kubo and Two Strings. It's like a Japanese samurai animal-ish thing.
Is it an anime?
Not anime, animated.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, big difference. But yes, Dustin Chafin, what do you think?
I have done no research on this film at all. I have no idea. Animated movies do well. You said it's, so it's not like it's a Japanese and then they turn it into English
or whatever.
And what's it called again? Two Strings?
Kubo and Two Strings. Matthew McConaughey, Charlize Theron are voices, as well as Ralph Fiennes in this as well.
Well, I like my boy McConaughey. All right, all right, all right. So, I don't know, 42.
Wow, going high.
Yeah. Well, it's a children's. I mean, anything with freaking kids. The Nine Lives. I don't know why that didn't make money.
Nine Lives tanked.
I don't know. I think kids hate cats at this point. You know, they're like Garfield. Like, stop with the cats, dude.
Dogs is where it's at, dummies.
Yeah, dogs, that's good money.
Jeffrey Paul, your thoughts on Kubo and Two Strings?
I'm going radically different than Dustin. I'm going 12.
I really think. Dustin, what'd you say, 40?
You said 42.
Yeah, 42.
I'm going in the middle of the two of you. A little bit, I guess, kind of sort of the middle. I think if Peach Dragon, like you think it's going to be a success, and I already wrote this down, so I didn't change anything. I think there's going to be spillover business for Peach Dragon. I just don't see anyone giving two fucks about Kubo and Two Strings. I really don't. There are plenty of kids' films out still. Even Dory's still making money. My number, $20 million.
Yeah, I just always go high on children's.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and as you should, because they do fucking well. And the last film, we talked about one of this guy's fraternity crew. The second one in this one, Jonah Hill, Milo, fucking, what's his name? Tenor, Milo Tenor. I gotta look that up. The guy from Whiplash, the kid drummer from Whiplash. Mm. Okay. In the film about selling arms.
What's the movie called?
War Dogs.
Isn't Paul Dano in that?
Who?
Paul Dano, the guy from the Beach Boys movie.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't see the Beach Boys movie.
Didn't they already do this with Nicolas Cage?
Lord of War?
War Inc. Or something? War Inc. They do War Inc.
I saw that. Oh, is it Lord yeah. Lords of War? I like that. Lords that was a good War? Fucking yeah, film. That was good. Yeah. I like that. That was very good.
I think I briefly remember this trailer. Yeah, I think it flashed on somewhere.
This? Okay, good. Dustin, if you wouldn't mind, give us
sure,
your...
Sure, I...
Miles Teller is his name. And Bradley Cooper's in this as well.
Yeah, that Miles guy, he was amazing in Whiplash, and I don't think anything...
Best film of that year.
But nothing else after that I've really liked.
He was in the Fantastic Four reboot, exactly. Which exactly, I didn't see that piece of shit. I've heard too many horror
and
stories.
And then he's in something with the freaking Zach guy from High School Musical or something. Like, he's been in a couple of the shit bags. Like, I don't even understand how you go from that... Like, that's to me, that's bad management.
It's called getting that paycheck, yeah, Dustin exactly. Chief.
Bad management, though, man. Yeah. It's like eventually then you stop getting the paychecks, and you're in Karate Kid 5. But
and everyone at this table would kill to be in Karate Kid 5.
Oh, I would be bad
absolutely.
Guy number 5.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Put me in a skeleton suit yeah, riding a bike
like,
at night.
I'd be like Chuck Norris's long-lost son. I just came in. Ranger Walker, the third. Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe 20 million, I guess.
So remember, this is the same weekend as Ben-Hur. So if you think Ben-Hur, these are all the same weekend. Ben-Hur, Kobu, and Two Strings, and War Dogs.
Well, so this is a specific demographic. I think maybe they're trying to, like, I don't. This is a weird demographic because they're young actors, but it's kind of more of a mature subject matter.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes it's a weird, like, are you going to be able to get the mature people to watch these kids, or are you going to get kids to watch a serious subject matter? So it's like, I don't know. It's a gamble, but,
right.
You know, maybe, I don't know. We'll go between. I'll stick with what I did.
Jeffrey Paul.
I'm going to stay in the same ballpark as Dustin, but I'm going to go a little bit lower, I think. I think I'm going to go 17 on this.
Jesus, you love undercutting here. You're like the guy in Price Right, always betting a dollar.
That is me.
I'm going to bet $2 here. I don't think that this can be okay.
Where do you go, 17-1?
No, I'm not doing that. I'm seizing. I'm going much higher than that. I think this can be I don't know how it's going to come out. It can be okay. This can be hit or miss. Dustin touched on it. And he goes, what's the demographic? Are we going old? Are we going young? I think this is going to be more for a younger dude, bro kind of crowd here. And I'm part of that crowd, but I'm not seeing this in the theater. I can promise you that. There's not been that, as we were just talking about before. This summer has been very, very lackluster in overall box office grosses as well as quality of films. I think this is going to pull in... $39 million.
Wow. Really? You went high on this.
I did go higher. It's the
very impressive.
I think it's going to be Ben-Hur's going to get one type of crowd and War Dogs will get the other. That's what I think it's going to be.
All right.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. So that concludes our little game here of movies. You're also a big sports guy too. We talk about sports on this as well.
Yeah, yeah, big sports. It's Pittsburgh's my football team, but everything else is Dallas. The Texas Rangers, Mavericks, Stars, all that stuff.
So you got to be happy with getting my guy Carlos Beltran on the Rangers, man. Yeah. That's a nice deal.
We look okay, yeah, for the Rockies tonight. See how that goes. But we're winning games. We're still in first.
So that division is dog shit. You ran away with that division. I would say about.
The Astros won't go away though.
You still stick around a little bit.
They're around,
but Angels will come and go. Like it'll, you know, it's still what it is.
Angels are done in that division.
Are they done?
Oakland. If you're looking at the Texas Rangers right now, you're looking at them and Cleveland as the class of the American League, and who's going to represent, you know, the American League in the World Series in there. And I got to tell you, I like Texas a little bit.
One of them's going to get picked off, so don't call that for an ALCS. Someone's going to pick them off. Yeah. One of those two is going
to
get picked off.
Yeah, no, Texas, they know how to blow it, let me tell you.
I was just going to say,
I've been a fan a long time.
The St. Louis World Series, that's a rough one.
Yeah,
I like what Cleveland did with their bullpen. I love
They got my guy Andrew Miller.
They got Andrew Miller, but they also still got Cody Allen. I wish Texas would have addressed the bullpen a little bit more, but they did. They got the guy Jeffries
working
from Milwaukee.
On it. Yeah, I mean,
so that's still going to be there.
Yeah, they'll be there.
The reliefs have been bad, but yeah,
it's going to be an interesting postseason. That's for sure. It's so funny how, again, I'm a Yankee fan, obviously, and it's so weird how the balance of power shifted. Like the AL East was always like the top division in all of baseball. Boston, Yankees, even Tampa a few years ago. Now it's the Jays and who gives a shit. The whole divisions. And Baltimore, I should say, too. Baltimore's doing a great job.
How do you feel about the A-Rod thing?
Here's the thing. I hate A-Rod. I hate him because of the steroid thing. forget that for a second. His bitch attitude drove me nuts. His inability to fucking, with the exception of 2004 and 2009, his postseason antics are well documented, but his bitch attitude drove me fucking nuts. With that said, am I glad they cut them? They didn't have to, because here's why. September 1's around the corner. The roster's expanding to 40. So it's not like, if this was May, then I'd say cut him, give the roster spot to somebody else. They're going to pay him anyway. Who gives a shit? But it's like, well, give him a week. Francis actually made a good point for once. He's like, look, let him get the 600 or 700. Let him give him that. You know, he's been a good soldier for the last year and a half. We're not going anywhere. We know that. But am I glad they cut him? Yeah, I'm glad. Definitely had to cut him at the end of the year no matter what. I mean, that is for sure. So, yeah, I guess I'm kind of a little bit, but it's like, I wouldn't mind if they said, fucking hang out, you'll wait.
Sum it up in an email.
That's my thought process. Well,
as usual, I disagree with everything you said there. One, you know, A-Rod just looked so overmatched. It was embarrassing for him. You don't want to see a guy like that go out. I wound up getting more respect for A-Rod after the suspension. He kept his mouth shut.
Yes, he did.
He comes back last year. He does a great job. You know, he hits like 33 home runs, 86 RBIs. He's hitting, again, in the high 250s. You know, for a 40-plus-year-old player, that's pretty good. So I was pretty impressed with him.
It's definitely impressed. And that's what, you know, when you get a little older, too, you always root for the older guys. Exactly. But as a Texas Rangers fan, we hate him. And we're still paying for that guy. It's like,
well, so are the Yankees. The
worst. Yeah, we are. Yeah, everybody. Special advisor. But, yeah, it's funny now that Teixeira's going to retire. It's going to be. I love how they're clean. They've cleaned house. They've cleaned house. I'm like, yes, let's suck for a year and a half and then open the checkbook us up when Bryce Harper and Manny Machado and even Jose Fernandez become free agents in a year and a half. That's where we're making our play. Get the young guys up, get them developed, ready to go, and then we'll see in a year and a half.
The other thing I like about A-Rod is that the guy does know the sport. He knows it really well. And he's going to work with that young shortstop that they got from the Cubs, Torres.
Right.
And I think that's going to accelerate his growth. I think A-Rod's going to make a – you know, listen, everything he's done well. He was great last year as an analyst.
I was just going to say, he was on fucking point. I'm like, wow.
That's right. Good. He banged Madonna. I mean, that's impressive.
That would have been impressive 25 years ago.
Even his chicks he's on point with.
His chicks are not on point. His Hall of Fame – his women resume. Great, Cameron Diaz is dusty ass, too. A few years ago? No.
Oh, come on. Really?
Cameron Diaz, something about Mary? Yes. Cameron Diaz now? No.
Yeah, Jeter's on point with
Jeter is, okay, so the Mount Rushmore of pussy, and we've had this discussion. Jeter?
Yeah.
Leo DiCaprio?
Of course.
Verlander?
No, not from one chick. Kate Upton is not, put you on the fucking monument.
It does for me.
Oh. Kate Upton is hot, but she's not good enough to put you on the fucking monument. Jeter? Brady? Jeter?
He hit the jackpot.
Leo? And you can even fucking, I mean, I'm missing one other guy.
Ray J.
Yeah, that too. Oh, that's nice. Alec Baldwin, you can put him on there. But those are the three for sure. The fourth you can put up for argument. But Brady, Jeter.
I would say Nicholson. That guy's been bad.
Nicholson's up there. Warren Beatty. Yeah. Warren Beatty's
Warren
another
Beatty,
one.
Dennis Hopper. All these guys. Like,
Dennis Hopper.
But yeah. Jeter's
his Dennis Hopper's last wife is like 17 or something. It was like some supermodel. She was like 17 or 18. I swear to you.
Clooney. There you go. Clooney. That's my fourth pick. Clooney's a no brainer.
And then he went with the smart chick. Good for him.
Hey, she's like what, 15 years younger. She's smoking hot. Yeah. She's a fucking piece.
Well played, sir.
And how much time we got? We got 10 minutes. Are we good?
I'm gonna take off. You guys.
Oh, you got to cut out. Right. That's cool. Yeah. Dustin, shout out your Twitter information, your CD one more time.
Yeah, at Dustin Chafin, and you can get my album on iTunes. Dustin Chafin, Stop Telling People That. Really happy to be here, man. It's a lot of fun, guys.
Absolutely.
Thanks, man.
Dustin.
All right, cool.
All right.
Dustin Chafin, at Dustin Chafin, guys. Get his CD. It's on sale in a few days.
He's a good man, that Dustin Chafin.
Friday.
It smells like chili in here all of a sudden. I don't know why.
It's the onions cooking in there.
You got it.
Take care, sir.
That was fun. Let me know anytime, man.
Well, you're a Met fan. Why don't you discuss your Mets and what moves they made? I should say.
Well, they made two moves. I like the Jay Bruce move a lot for two reasons. One, in case Cespedes leaves next year, you got a little bit of insurance there. It also lengthens the lineup, which I think that's what the Mets need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just knock everyone down a peg. And also, they got kind of like an addition by subtraction. They got rid of one of the worst signs they've made in years, Antonio Bastardo, and they brought back old buddy Jonathan Nease, who, listen,
yuck,
he pitched well in the postseason, and he's a lefty, And, you know, those guys, you know, they could discover and rediscover it. But if I had my choice between Bastardo and Nice, I'll take Nice, man. Bastardo was brutal.
He's not good by any stretch, Nice. Let's not get crazy. He had one good postseason. And but his,
it was
but
the only one he was in.
Okay, fine. But then his whole seasons with the Mets have been mediocre at best.
Yeah, but again, if you're looking at him compared to Bastardo,
no,
who would
that.
You rather have? You'd rather have.
I mean, yeah, they're both.
Say
bad.
It.
I'd rather have him, but it's not like, okay, you made it's not a monumental move. I get it. You're not making, you don't have to.
It's not a division right. changing move. The Bruce move is more of a division changing.
He is
move.
Streaky as fuck, though.
He'll carry a team.
He strikes out way too much.
Well, this year he's also cut down on the strikeouts.
But he still strikes out a shitload. I mean, he was striking out like ridiculous amounts. I've had him in fantasy baseball. I know this. He's been a fucking. He can easily go 0 for 4 in the blink of an eye with 4 strikeouts.
Who couldn't?
Easily. I mean.
Who couldn't?
Wade Boggs?
0 for 4. Okay.
With but 4 strikeouts. But, he,
but he's, not gonna, he's also not going to drive the kind of power that Jay Bruce has. You know? And this is, see, this is the thing that. That I think the Mets are an incomplete work right now. They got a lot of power. Guys like Neil Walker, who I hope they bring back next year. Cespedes, who can opt in, okay? And Bruce. They need to get more of that John Olerud contact hitter where they don't have to rely on the home run.
Right.
And, you know, where they can manufacture runs. Thank God Diaz's contract expires mm-hmm. at the end of this year. And maybe they could use that to some more good use. They need to get themselves a permanent third baseman because, unfortunately,
he's done.
Wright,
yeah.
Wright is done. I hope he retires. You just don't want to see him hanging around and just being like a shell of himself.
No, he's going to hang it up. He's got it. I think would you have a compressed spinal column or something like that?
He had almost the exact same thing that Mattingly had. That,
yeah.
That forced Mattingly to retire. And I wish we had Dykstra back here because when I was with him a couple of weeks ago, he was talking about the right injury. And he was saying that when you kind of like push off that back foot, that's where your power is coming from. And he doesn't have that anymore. He's going to be a slap hitter, man. He's not going
to. And he doesn't have the speed to beat it out either.
Right? You know, unfortunately, you know, you hate to see this happen because by all accounts, you just hear this guy is such a great guy.
Sure.
But he's done.
Yeah, that sucks. So you think the A-Rod thing was a good. You're glad they caught him?
I am because, okay. You know what? I really did turn the corner on A-Rod. I never hated him 100%. And you look at his numbers, man. His numbers are off the charts. They're great.
They're filthy.
I also.
Until October.
I get that part, but I also like that when he comes to the Yankees, he's unselfish. He goes to third base. He does, you know.
Oh, don't even say he's.
Why?
He was.
Why?
First of all, he's saying Jeter's not fit to lead. Really? We're going to go down that fucking. We're going to try and unseat the king of New York like that?
Oh, he's overrated with the fucking leadership.
Stop it.
Jeter as
it's
a leader.
It's his team.
Anytime they had a fucking brawl, that guy was always in the back. He was never leading.
He's a leader.
He did the right things, you know, off the field. You never heard him involved in a scandal.
Just banging broads,
you know. But I was. You know, I always fucking hated people. And Derek Jeter, he's overrated. Fuck.
Yeah, because Ray Ordonez is so great for the Mets. You're right, or Kaz Matsui.
I'm not comparing the two. I just don't.
That's because you're jealous that you didn't have a Derek Jeter in your team. David Wright was supposed to be your Derek Jeter, but he never panned out to Derek Jeter.
He got hurt. What are you going to do?
But when it happens.
He was great. But if you're going to compare Jeter to A-Rod, A-Rod's numbers blow him off the face of the earth.
If Jeter did steroids, he might have those kind of crazy numbers.
You know, you guys are all hating on A-Rod, but A-Rod, he was a fucking cunt.
He's a great player. He was a great player. No one's arguing that.
Yeah, he was the year where he won the MVP with the Yankees.
2005?
No, I think it was
he won
later
two.
Than that. But it was one year he had, you look at his numbers, one of the all-time years. He 56 home runs, 147, I think, in the...
Filthy. No one's disputing that.
357 batting average, 28 stolen bases. Jesus Christ, man. I mean, Derek Jeter never came close to a season like that.
That wasn't his role.
I understand that.
And he was on the juice, too. Jeter might have fucking did...
Everyone was on the juice.
Not Jeter. Not Mariano. No, they weren't. No, they were not. There were three names to this day. I'm like, I would be... Everyone else, I would not be shocked if they got nailed with steroids. Jeter, Mariano, and Don Mattingly would be the only ones that still would shock the fuck out of me. Everyone else, like, oh, okay, that's fine. I get it. No big deal.
Mariano's also another one of these guys completely overrated.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Come on.
Clickbait.
Who fucking blew the World Series against Arizona?
the double play ball.
Or Mariano Rivera.
Okay. How many did he fucking single-handedly win?
Fucking save you. Okay. Kevin, okay. All right. For a guy who supposedly claims to like baseball and understand it, you know the save's the most overrated thing.
No, I know that, but how many times have you brought in for a fucking two-inning save? How many times? I'm not biting your silly nonsense.
You're like one of these like blinded Yankee fans, you know, yeah. Mattingly, Jeter, and Rivera. You know,
Rivera, get his name right, please. Thank you. Get his name right.
He's overrated, man.
Yeah, he's an all fan. Newhall
take over him?
Tell me Trevor Hoffman will laugh my balls off, or Eric Gagne. Trevor Hoffman.
No, not Trevor Hoffman.
Go ahead. Tell me fucking your jerk off Met clothes from 86. Go ahead. Try and dye one on.
Bruce Sutter.
Not even close.
Untouchable.
Not even close.
Untouchable.
Not even close.
He's in the Hall of Fame already.
Not even close.
You never even saw him play.
87 Braves. Yes, I did.
You can look that up on Wikipedia all you like, but you never saw him. That guy was.
He was a filthy fastball.
He was clutch.
How clutch can you be on a team that does not make the playoffs? The Braves did not make the playoffs in the fucking 80s, all right? They were the 90s fucking playoff team.
Yeah, but he also was with St. Louis.
So how is he clutch on the fucking Braves?
If I'm not mistaken, I think he also has a Cy Young.
That's great. So does Mariano. Actually, no, he doesn't.
No, he doesn't. So you can't make a fact.
So far, I was fucking teasing you. First of all, you can't say a guy is clutch when he's barely sniffed the fucking playoffs. I have to look at Bruce Sutter's numbers to see if he's made the playoffs. But for Atlanta, I know for a fact he's on the Dale Murphy fucking shit years in the Braves. He's not as good as Mariano because he never had to face what Mariano had to face. 6 out fucking saves in the World Series or the ALCS. This is not an argument.
Anyone could pick up saves in a World. John Wetland, didn't he win an MVP in a World Series in 86?
He blew.
96? He didn't blow. He didn't blow anything. He never blew a World Series.
He made it interesting because he only made one. Mariano Rivera made
it's the team.
Fucking how many playoffs did Mariano Rivera
another comic and I had this argument on our way back from a road trip. Okay, we're driving over Tommy Gooch. We're riding over 3 hours. Okay, the last hour and a half, we get into this big argument, and this is what we're arguing about: who's a better manager, Torrey or Buck Showalter?
Showalter.
That's exactly what I said. He went Torrey because of the World Series. It's about the teams that you have.
That was also Don Zimmer with him too.
Give me those teams.
I could have managed. That's easy.
It's not, you know, baseball managing isn't like basketball, isn't like football. You make up a line. George can make up the fucking lineup of the Yankees or who's the team?
98 Bulls.
The Cubs are the best team in baseball right now. You can make up the lineup for the Cubs. Guess what, man? They'll go out and win. George got to win. He's a great manager.
Look, Torrey had a lot of options.
Manage the San Diego Padres, you'll lose. I don't care how much baseball knowledge you have. They stink. They have no talent. It's what the talent that you have. It's the GM who assembles the team.
You know what Buck Showalter is hilariously known for is walking Barry Bonds to fucking walking him and forcing in a run because he's like, I'd rather him fucking walk in and drive and run than in a grand slam against
Barry
him.
Bonds. Should he be a Hall of Famer? Tell me.
Yeah,
no,
of course he should, but now then that opens. We had this discussion last time about the fucking floodgates being open with the steroid guys.
And remember, he was never tested positive for steroids. He never did.
And that's the court of common of fucking appeal will say otherwise. What else we have here? Oh, briefly, the NFL last night did not play their Hall of Fame game.
Embarrassing.
And people, why is it embarrassing? Okay, embarrassing. I know we're going to go. It's who the fuck cares about a fucking exhibition game? Because here's the flip side of the coin. Who played last night? Who was supposed to?
Green Bay and the Colts.
Okay, so if you're a fucking Colt, or let's say you're a Colt fan, Andrew Luck goes out, steps on paint. They said it was like concrete. Andrew Luck goes
that's
back out there.
That's why it's embarrassing. Because okay. The NFL... You know, has right. This great game, and they can't get it off the ground. It's supposed to be nationally televised. Everyone's looking forward to it.
If you're a Colt fan, Andrew Luck goes out, tries to roll left, and slips on a fucking – and tears
sure
his fucking –
sure the field was in great
they did.
Condition.
They said they're dumping paint solvent on it for an hour and a half before the fucking
it's
game like Madden.
It's embarrassing.
But does anyone give a fuck about the NFL preseason games? Really?
Yes.
I've been to fucking a few giant preseason games. You know how it's there? It's like a goddamn ghost town. They're horrible.
I go to them. I don't stay for the whole game. It depends on
– not a real fan.
It depends – For a preseason game?
The fact that you even go to it is embarrassing.
No, it's not.
It's terrible.
You go.
It's such a cash grab.
Yo, you have no idea what you're talking
terrible.
About.
Terrible. I've been to a plane.
Per usual.
My buddy's season ticket giant holder. They make you buy those fucking games. That is an embarrassment.
But that's not what we're discussing. What you're discussing here is, okay, when you go to an exhibition game in football, okay, the first game, you're looking at your early draft picks. They're getting a little play, and you're looking at the depth guys. The second game, they're playing a little bit longer. You're looking at the starters. Maybe now they're playing a quarter. The third game is the best one to go to because that's where your starters are going to play half. And a series, and you really want to see how they're gelling. The fourth one is a waste of time. That I'll give you. I agree with. You know, the preseason should be cut down to three games.
Two.
Okay? I don't think you added on, you know, I don't think they should extend the NFL season. And you know, you play your 16 games. Every game means something. That's the beauty of pro football. You know,
right?
Every game is important. Every game is an event, and Sunday is like a holiday. Every Sunday,
I love going to games. If I don't go to games, I'm at home fucking kicking up watching them. But I think they're an absolute waste of time, guys. What do you do? Well, you're a Jet fan. You're a quarterback. You haven't had a quarterback in fucking 50 years almost. Every time Eli goes back in a preseason game, I'm like, Jake, don't let him get hit. Don't let him get hit. I'm fucking crossing my fucking fingers he doesn't get fucking hit.
It's football. You get hit.
In a meaningless fucking game.
I remember I was at the game.
Where you got bloodied?
When Jason Sehorn.
Oh, you know, the knee and the kickoff return. And every Giant fan hates a preseason game because of that reason. And
when you have a secondary guy that valuable, what do you have him doing returning kicks in a preseason?
That's Jim Fossil. That's why he doesn't coach anymore.
That was an awful, awful decision.
Look, every year the Giants, with the exception of last year, they always lose someone in these fucking games. It's a huge loss because of an ACL in the fucking preseason games. I hate them. I fucking hate them.
You get injuries not only in the games, but you also get them in camp. You know,
I'd rather you run drills in camp and fucking tear your ACL than a bullshit meaningless fucking game.
But it happens.
Of course it happens. Now wait till week 3.
And the thing is, you have to. You could practice as much as you want. You could have combined practices as much as you want. But there is no way of telling and executing and getting your rhythm down. You got to play games, and that's why you need games. You can't, you know, two games are not enough.
Two is
enough. You need at least. I'd
run two a days again if it was legal, and say practice.
But,
I know.
It's not.
Okay, then go outside.
But how else are these? See, that's the thing. How else are these guys going to get their timing down? How else are they going to gel? And it's really super important for your linemen, especially when you're passing guys down. It's important for the chemistry between the receivers
and the
quarterback. You know, because otherwise, what you're going to have? You're going to have a bunch of Alex Smiths who are just going to keep checking down, and you're never going to get a vertical game going.
He's won a postseason game.
Wow.
I know. Okay. Yeah. And I took the Chiefs. That was an easy one.
Against the Texans last year?
I took the Chiefs. Dude, yeah. I knew they were going to beat him. That was calm a fucking down.
Calm down.
All right, God. Look, and it's going to get even worse. So week 3. Fantasy teams will have already been drafted. I will have my fantasy team, most of them drafted. So you mean to tell me when, let's say you have an Andrew Luck again, we'll go back to that. He goes out and gets his fucking knee taken out, and there goes your first pick in fantasy, or maybe even second pick. You're like, well, this season's pretty much fucking over.
I'm not worried. Horseshit. Yeah, I'm not worried about my fantasy team.
You're not? Well, then, okay. I'd love to invite you in our league.
I'm more interested in like real team, my real football team.
And what do you think the Jets are good for this year? Wins. No, barring injuries right now.
Let's hold off on that.
Okay, well,
let's save that for, like, you know, we have a
we'll do the
show.
No, we'll do
we
we'll,
have a
we'll
show September 5th. We'll talk about it on September 5th.
We're here the 5th.
You'll be here the 5th.
No, we're not. That's Labor Day.
You are correct. We will be here September 12th.
I will not be. I'll be in Las Vegas, baby, watching week 1 of the NFL out there and gambling my balls off.
Okay, that's wonderful.
Isn't it? I'll live to
All right.
You're here wearing Ashwash, Jordache, and I'll be in Vegas. I think I win. Dynamite comeback, Jeffrey Paul. Keep on going. Jeffrey.
I don't.
See how flummoxed he gets, George?
I can't take his fucking dumb jokes. They're so hacky and shit.
No, they're not. Hold on. I've seen your act and your iPod. They're both laughable. Interesting. So, listen, we got to wrap shit up here, kids. We've gone like 1:06. This is amazing. We can go for another hour making fun of each other. Listen, let's cut the bullshit. Jeffrey Paul, where can we find you?
All right. This is where you can find me. I will be in Hartford on Thursday at the Funny Bone.
Ooh.
Yes. I'll also be at Dustin's Club, Greenwich Village Comedy Club. August 16th. Then I will be away for a little while in Virginia. And then I come back to do, I'll be at the Comedy Cove.
A month ago. Good times.
Oh, thank you for plugging that, that you used to do. August 26th and 27th, Comedy Cove in Springfield, New Jersey.
Are you hosting?
I am hosting.
Let me see. All right. Who's headlining that show?
I'm not sure. I haven't seen it yet.
I'm doing bar shows. Nothing really to write home about. Just kidding. Who? Private gig next week in Ocean Grove, New Jersey at a yacht club. Yay. That'll be a hoot nanny. You can find us at Sportsbook Box. Am I right with that one? Yeah, Sportsbook Box on Twitter. At Kevin Goatee, at KevinGootteeN. Comics Watching Comics. We just filmed episode 3.
Check it out.
And at Comics Watching on Twitter, comicswatchingcomics.com. And so 2 weeks on the 22nd, we'll be back. We'll see how our predictions did. We will be getting, I think we should do some over-unders because that will be tis the season, I would say, to start picking some over-unders for football.
We will do that next time. The next time we are back is not the 22nd. Next time we are back is actually August 29th.
Why aren't we here the 22nd?
I'm going to be away. I'm going to be in Virginia.
Well, then I won't see you then because I'm gone the 29th and the 12th. Wow. Okay. We'll see you whenever we see you. How about that? I'm Kevin Goatee.
I'm Jeffrey Paul.
Thanks for listening to the Sportsbook Box Office Podcast, guys. Make sure you like us on iTunes. Leave us a 5-star review because, goddammit, we fucking earned it. See you next time.